Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, welcome to Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd. My co-host, Red Beckman, should be joining us here in just a second. And tonight, I have asked for Mama Cooks to bless us with an opening prayer. I think it's really good for all of you to get to know Mama Cooks. She's the one that kind of works the switchboard for us and handles kind of the technical production of the show. And really do appreciate her a lot. She and Dr. Kate are a great team to have working behind Red and I and with us. And just want to give Mama Cooks an opportunity to come on and bless us with her thoughts this evening. Mama Cooks, are you there?
I'm here, Terry. Thanks for having me on. I enjoy being with you every week behind the scenes. I enjoy listening to all you and Red talking and your guests.
Well, it's good to have you there. Would you please open us in a prayer?
All right. Heavenly Father, I just come to this place where friends join and people with like minds and a love for you come together to discuss the issues of the day. And Father, our hearts are heavy this week because some decisions have been made in Washington in our government that are not godly decisions, and we feel that some very bad consequences will come, and we have nowhere to turn but you, Father. We know that you are aware of everything, you have wisdom, and your ways are higher than our ways, but we come to you, and we lay our concerns before you, and we repent because we know that apathy and inactivity and fear of saying things that would cause dissension have brought us to this place, and that the Christians and the people who belong to you have been quiet for too long. We have hidden in our closets, and we have not been strong in trying to keep our culture on a strong footing in a biblical basis. And Father, we repent of that, and we ask you to forgive us, and we come to this time of remembering Christ entering into Jerusalem and being hailed as the king, and then being betrayed and taken to the cross. And Father, this time of year of all, we feel closer to that event, and our great salvation is manifest in our lives, and we remember and we think about it and meditate on it. And Father, we are so grateful that you are a loving God, you are a sacrificing God, and you are a good God. And Father, we know that you are also a holy God. We just come to you, we submit ourselves to you, and we lay ourselves, our lives, our country, and our families at your mercy. Father, we trust you to deliver us from this great calamity as you have delivered your people throughout all of history. And we know that the victory is yours, and all things work together for good for those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. We just thank you that you have chosen us, and we ask you to guide our country. And we ask not so much for comfort or for good things and prosperity for ourselves, but we ask that your will be done, and that many will come to know you and come to your great salvation, and that you will receive the glory and the honor and the praise. We thank you. We ask you to bless us and be with us tonight. Help us to know your presence. We just thank you and praise you. In Christ's name, amen.
Are you there, Terry?
Yes, Red. Janet's going to play us a song. Red, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing better after hearing that great invocation and that music.
I'll tell you, we need to get Mama Cooks on here to let people hear her a little more often, don't we?
Absolutely. Her prayer was profound, and I really appreciate that. I have heard the name Mama Cooks, but I've never had any idea exactly who she was or what all she did. But anyway, I know more about her now, and I really appreciate her. I think that was her prayer was somewhat of a testimony too. She has the faith, and I have nothing but admiration for people like that with. You know, that will pray a prayer such as he did.
Well, Red, Dan, I see him in chat, but I'm not sure he's on a live mic yet. But I'm wanting to hear a little bit about your phone call that you got from the SPLC, which is, for those who don't know that what that initials are for, that's the Southern Poverty Law Center, which, Red, I'll let you tell the people about the SPLC.
The SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, is a racket. And they have collected millions of dollars from large corporates and such. They operate more or less on the same principle and the same modus operandi that Jesse Jackson uses. A little blackmail or whatever, arm twisting to get people to make contributions, as though they're doing such a great service. And, of course, they work hand in glove with the ADL, which most people are aware of, that these people are not our friends. They are not working for the best interests of our country. And on Monday, I had a phone call. I came in for lunch a little early, or a little late, rather. And when I walked in the door, the phone rang, and my wife took the call, and then she handed me the phone. And it was a lady that said she was doing research for the Southern Poverty Law Center. And of course, I have been very much aware of the Southern Poverty Law Center and all of the negative stuff that they have put on their website. There's probably hundreds of pages of stuff on the web about what an awful guy Red Beckman is. And of course, I'm really blessed by having that, because when an outfit like that don't like me, I know I'm probably very much on target, very much right with what I'm saying. But this gal, after what happened on Monday, I didn't know that all of this was going on in the different places in the country where people were throwing bricks through windows, and they were calling congressmen and senators and threatening them over the phone. And I did get in that evening, of course, for some of NBC News, and they showed the House Majority Leader, Steny Hoyer or something, where Sunday evening after that vote, oh, he was so all smiles. He was just really beaming. But Monday evening, he wasn't beaming anymore. He was dead serious. There weren't any smiles to treat the camera to. Anyway, I think that the call from the Southern Poverty Law Center was probably generated by the backlash to the vote in the House on the health care thing. Anyway, I enjoyed that interview. I don't know when I've enjoyed an interview like that one, because this gal said she was a researcher, and I was on the phone with her for well over 30 minutes, and she asked questions about, was I encouraging a bloody revolution? And, of course, anybody that knows Red Beckman know that what I said in my very first book, which I wrote in 1980, I said in there that bloody revolution is the evidence of failure. And I think I repeated that in one of my later books as well, because when people fail to use common sense and have a value system that values people's rights and people's independence, you know, and private property rights and all of that. Anybody that has that, they don't want any part of a bloody revolution. And, of course, the founders of this country, they put such a redundancy into the Constitution. There are so many ways to make corrections and make them in an orderly fashion. And one of the things that really made me chuckle, she wondered if I wasn't afraid for my life. And of course, with all of the nasty stuff that SPLC has put out about Red Beckman, I would probably be a target for some of the kooks out there. I told her, I said, I don't worry about that at all. I said, that's just not in my a problem that I have. And I told her about 25 years ago, a fellow back in Montana. He insisted that I get a permit to carry a concealed weapon. And he'd gone to all the trouble to get the forms, and he'd gotten a state judge that was willing to sign the application and all of that. And I told him, I said, I don't want that. I don't intend to carry a concealed weapon. I said, if they want to get me, I'm not going to be able to stop them. And I said, I have to depend upon my God. He is bigger than all of them put together, and he can protect me. If it's not his time to take me out, I just don't have to worry. And I told her, and of course, my humor was in high gear. And I said, you know, I said, if they waste me, I said, that's a promotion. She didn't know how to react to that. That stumped her. I don't think she'd ever heard of anything like that before, because she just kind of stuttered and sputtered for a bit before she gathered her senses together. And of course, I'm chuckling, and enjoying it immensely. But I think that what this was all about was that of course, calling from the East Coast, the protest was in high gear while we were talking. Now, it was after 1 o'clock, I believe, if I remember right, when she called me, which was Pacific time, and that would have been after 4 o'clock New York time, or East Coast time. And so the protest was, pretty visible out there at that time of the day, and I think that is why they called me, thinking perhaps I would say some pretty nasty things about this health care bill, and I didn't really say that much about it at all. I didn't miss my opportunity to testify and be a witness for my God and my belief system. And that was an area that she just could not handle. It was just pretty much difficult for her to handle that. And you see, you have to recognize that the Southern Poverty Law Center, that they are part of the problem in this country, because they think that the federal government, they're not supporting the states with their sovereignty movement. They're not supporting you and I in our battles with the Internal Revenue Service. We're a danger to their God, which is the federal government. The federal government is a false god, and these people worship that federal god. And of course, the lead character in the Southern Poverty Law Center is, he's just I'm pretty much a low-level scumbag as far as I'm concerned because of, I think if I remember right, he is an attorney. And he's got a history that is not real clean. And so these people, the federal government is their god. And that is totally contrary to my belief system. And I'm convinced that the federal god is going to be brought down by the true god. It isn't going to be Red Beckman and Terry Dodd and the Continental Congress and such that is going to bring down the federal god. It's going to be our Heavenly Father, who is a jealous god. And he only tolerates false gods up to a point. And I'm just not as patient as God is. I'd like to see it happen tomorrow. And of course, this gal interviewing me, I brought out how that I was convinced that the federal god was going to be brought down. And she said, "Well, how do you think that's going to happen?" And I said, "Do you remember December of 1991? And she didn't remember. And, of course, I said, that's when the USSR went down overnight. The government dissolved itself overnight, and there were just a very small handful of people that knew that it was going to happen. And I said, it may well happen. We may wake up some morning, just like the people in Russia, and wake up, and when we hear the news, why, they're going to say that the federal god has gone down. They'll call it the federal government, of course, that it has been dissolved. I think there's a high probability of that happening. And I'm sure that I'm not alone when I say that I think there's a lot of people out there that want to see that happen, just like I do. I've gone along too far here. Somebody else needs to be talking.
Well, no, you haven't gone too far at all. Janet, do we have anybody else that's ready to jump in here? I don't know if Dan's called in yet or any of the others. Okay, I'm not seeing a response on that. Red, you seem to be enjoying a little bit of that call. I you know, most people would really not want to talk to those people, and I really respect the fact that you have the courage just to tell it to them like it is, and you really, you know, you roll the dice because you figure they're gonna twist it one way or another. Why not educate them while they're on the phone is what it sounds like to me. And did you see a change in this person's tone from the time that you started the conversation to the time you finished it?
I think so, because I think when she signed off, she said, "I will try to write this as you have said it, as you have told it." And of course, one of the things that kind of struck me funny, she knew that I had been in Hamilton, Montana on the 15th of September, and that we had a great crowd of 500 or better. And she knew that. And she said, "Did you know that a couple of days after you were there, that there were people walking up and down the streets of Hamilton carrying their weapons?" And I laughed. I didn't know that, but I said, they've got their rights. That's something that is secured for them. They can do that. And I said, you didn't hear where they shot anything up or hurt anybody or damaged anybody. And, well, no. And it was, she had read a bunch of the information that the Southern Poverty Law Center had in their file on me, of course, and so I knew that that was fairly recent. Of course, the daily newspaper in Missoula, Montana, they had carried a story, and they've never really been they've not been admirers of Red Beckman. And, of course, I have not been admirers of that newspaper. In Montana, the people there have a very serious disadvantage. There's a news organization out of Des Moines, Iowa, called Lee Newspapers, and or Lee News or whatever. But anyway, they own quite a number of newspapers in this country. And in Montana, they own the Billings Gazette, the largest city in the state. They own the Billings Gazette. They own the newspaper, the Helena Independent Record at Helena, the state capital. They own the paper at Butte, Montana, Standard, the Montana Standard. When I was a lad of about 12, 13, I was selling the Montana Standard at the Milwaukee Railroad Depot when the trains came in. I think they were only a nickel a copy then, or a dime at the most. And of course, it wasn't Lee Newspapers then. Lee Newspapers came in and bought up these different newspapers in Montana. So they really have the loudest voice as far as news papers are concerned in Montana, because they do own the Missoulian in Missoula, Montana. And when I moved out here where I'm at here, lo and behold, they own the local paper here in Longview, Texas. I thought I was going to get away from them, but I couldn't get away from them, I guess. So anyway, you know, this is so much a part of our problem in this country, is the media. It is so obvious to the American people that it is the media that gave us, you know, this phony that we've got for a president of the United States. You know, he wants to know everything about you and I, and all, but we can't find out anything about him. This guy is so dishonest that, you know, and people just think he's the greatest thing that ever happened in this country. That is, the people that have their hands out expecting to be taken care of by this false god called federal government. And they're the ones that, there's far too many of them. So we've got that to contend with in this country. But the media is not, you know, it's not a free press.
Well, Red, you keep talking about referencing the false god. How about you really tell us a little bit about the false god by sharing a little bit about your friend, the 85-year-old World War II veteran that you've been attempting to assist.
Well, you know, this is one of the things I am trying to stay away from getting too involved with people and their problems with the Internal Revenue Service. However, I know considerable about this situation, and this is an 85-year-old veteran of World War II. His wife is 84, and he was an engineer, and apparently a very good one, and he probably made considerable money in his day. But he's had a lot of health problems over the last 10 years or so, and he's been harassed by the Internal Revenue Service. It's just total, absolute terrorism in its purest form. I won't tell you what state they're in. They're back east. She will call me once every few months and tell me that, you know, she's just at her wit's ends. And so she had called, and told me that the IRS had given them 30 days to either pay up or they were going to take part of their Social Security and they're going to put a lien on the house that they've lived in for 46 years. And I just can't help but, you know, really emphasize with these people and such. And I am fairly confident that, you know, that I can help them in this kind of a situation. And so they sent me some of the paperwork that they had just gotten, given them the 30 days, and I've been working on a letter for them. You see, people just do not understand that when they get into a battle with the Internal Revenue Service, what they are up against is administrative procedures. They're not up against constitutional law or constitutional constitutionally secured rights and all that. Everything is administrative procedures, and these administrative, you know, the entire IRS code, for the most part, is written by attorneys in the Internal Revenue Service. And most of them know full well that, you know, there's a very small group of people, actually, that are subject to the income tax, and that is, they have to be, if they're a government employee, then they are subject to the income tax. It's just very simple when you start reading the code that it's there. But they don't tell you and I that, the people on the outside, they don't tell us that, and they say we're all, you know, we're all subject to the income tax. And, of course, you cannot get an answer out of the IRS. You can't get an answer out of the federal courts as to the fact that there is no place in the Internal Revenue Code that makes it so that I, as an individual outside of government service, I, as an individual, I am not subject to an income tax, a federal income tax. I am not subject. There is no section of that code that makes me liable. Anyway, what I usually do to try to help these people like this is get them to understand that when they invoke the Bill of Rights, the security of our records and our houses and our, you know, our effects, all of the rights that are secured by the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, of course, these rights, they more or less trump. In other words, the administrative procedures have to fall by the wayside. You just shove them off of the table and into the round file or wherever. Because when you invoke the Bill of Rights, the laws that are there, when you invoke that in a controversy with the Internal Revenue Service, it changes everything. It just changes everything 100%. It's just altogether different. You don't have to contend with administrative procedures. And basically what I do, and it has worked very well for me for a long time, what I do, of course, is that I invoke the 7th article of the Bill of Rights, the 7th Amendment, the forgotten, dormant amendment, the amendment in the Bill of Rights that the lawyers don't learn anything about it in law school. They are not taught anything about the 2nd Amendment. And the reason for it is that the 2nd Amendment, or the 7th Amendment, pardon me, the 7th Amendment says that in suits of common law, if the value in controversy exceeds $20, the right to trial by jury shall be preserved. and no fact tried by a jury may be reexamined by any court in the land other than by the according to the rules of the common law. Anyway, when you invoke the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, that is the higher law. Administrative procedures are the lowest quality law. They like to call them law. I don't call them law at all. But they are, their value is zero. When you refer to the Bill of Rights, whether it's the First Amendment, your freedom of speech, your freedom of press, your freedom to assemble, your freedom of religion, your freedom to petition for redress of grievance, those are rights that are secured by the Bill of Rights, and they are the highest law controlling government. And they are laws that were put there to protect you and I from a renegade rogue government. And so we've been quite successful noticing the IRS that if they have a valid claim, if their claim is legal or lawful, I should say, if their claim is lawful, then their proper procedure is to go to the federal court system, the federal district court, and file an action in federal court and using Rule 38 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. Because Rule 38 secures your right to a jury, Seventh Amendment jury trial. In other words, a jury of your peers. And they are the ones that make all the findings of fact and conclusions of law because you put the judge on notice of his conflict of interest. This is something that we have missed in the tax protest in this country. The fact that the judge, and of course, much of it has happened because most people feel that they cannot represent themselves. They've got to have a lawyer. They've got to have a tax lawyer. And when they use a lawyer, everything in that courtroom is going to be administrative procedures, and you're going to lose most of the time because the judge has the authority to manipulate the evidence and who gets to testify. One time I was subpoenaed to a case, I was in Montana then, and I was subpoenaed to testify in a case in Portland, Oregon. And they flew me out to Portland, and after I got there, then the federal judge, he ruled that that I was not an expert witness and that I should not be allowed to testify. This is the arrogance. This is the tyranny of the federal court system in this country. They use administrative procedures and they hang you out to dry because in administrative procedures, that's equity action. That is not it is not a common law action or it's admiralty jurisdiction. And the judge is the king in that courtroom. He can do anything he wants to do. And when you go in under the Seventh Amendment, Rule 38, you put that judge on notice of his conflict of interest. The fact that he is a government employee, which makes him a government agent. He is a beneficiary of the tax laws because of his employment by the federal government. The government itself, you can't put the government itself on trial because the government is a fiction. There's no flesh and blood there. But the judge, you see, he is a party to the action because he represents the government, and he is going to rule 99 times out of 100, he is going to rule in favor of the government because He has that conflict of interest, and he is a political animal. He is an attorney. He is not your friend in a tax case because he wants you paying your taxes, and if you are convicted in his court, he's going to send you to jail so that the news will hit the newspapers on the front page. And people will say, you guys never win. Well, we win, but we never get it on the front page. Because the newspapers are not free. That is not a free press, because the Internal Revenue Service, they will tell that newspaper, if you put the good news for us, if you put that on the front page and such, we'll audit your entire staff. We'll harass you people in your newspaper. We'll harass you till you'll be down on your knees begging for mercy. Now, that's how the IRS operates. And if you don't believe me, you just do a little investigating and talk to some of these people in the newspaper business. I've had newspaper editors reporters and such all over this country tell me that they will write a story in these newspapers. Now, every computer is all tied together. There'll always be a couple of higher echelon people that review every single story that is put in that paper. And if there's anything there that is contrary, that would be a problem for the federal god, they will rewrite the story. And I've had reporters tell me that they have written stories when it comes out in the paper, they don't even recognize it, and it's under their byline. They don't even recognize it as what they wrote, because the hierarchy in the newspaper will change it to fit. And I'll never forget, there was a radio station, a 50,000-watt high-powered station, that back in the 80s, they had a lot of talk radio, 24 hours a day, and the talk hosts, they kind of got on a deal where they were all talking about the Internal Revenue Service and what an outlaw bunch they were. And one of the head honchos for the IRS went to see the manager of the station. And he told the manager, he says, I want you to get all of your staff together because I want to talk to them. And the manager wasn't smart enough to get a video camera and put this guy on video. I've wished that I had a video of this IRS agent telling those talk show hosts and the staff to quit bad-mouthing the Internal Revenue Service, because if they didn't quit, the IRS was going to audit the entire staff. Now, that has a tendency to destroy the free press. And so, anytime you think that we've got a free press in this country, there's a few isolated small papers, but they're very few. And, of course, this is why we really appreciate the Internet and the emails and the websites and such, because this is the closest thing we've got to a source, a true source for news. So I've said enough, Terry. It's your turn.
Well, I just have more questions for you, Red. I've got a bunch of them. We've got someone in chat who mentioned the render under Caesar, and render under God what is God's. I know that you'd probably like to comment to that. I'm not sure what their reference was. It wasn't the misuse of it particularly, but I know that happens so often, and it would be good for you to reiterate that.
Well, we're getting to that time of the year here. April 15th is less than a month away. And almost without exception, all of the corporate churches pretty well, and that's 99% probably of the churches in this country, the pastor will get up and he'll preach a sermon and he'll use Romans the 13th chapter and he'll use that render under Caesar that which is Caesar's. He'll use that and he puts himself in good graces with the Internal Revenue Service by him telling the people that they have a biblical command to pay what taxes are demanded of them. This is theological error, and it is gross theological error. And, you know, I hate to say it in some ways, so much of our problem in this country, this is why we've got the sovereignty resolutions in the state level, and people are talking about sovereignty. They never heard the word for years, and they've had to get an education on what it means for sovereignty. When the enemies of our Lord Jesus Christ, when they confronted Christ with this question of whether it was lawful to pay tribute to Caesar, they thought they were going to get him in a trap. And of course, Christ did it so many times, and he did it so well, he would trap them in their own trap. And of course, like I say, it is theological error for pastors today or preachers of any kind to say that that passage of Scripture tells us that we have to pay these taxes that are due, that the IRS says are due. This is theological error, and here is the reason why. In Christ's day, the Roman Empire had conquered the area of where Christ was at there in Palestine at that point, and that part of the world, and they had a form of government where Caesar was, he was treated as a god, and he was worshipped as a god by many, many people. I guess we have the same situation here in this country today, where we've got people that worship Obama and think he's the greatest thing that ever happened to our country. And people... They were under the thumb of Caesar, and he had his army, his troops, his agents every place. And here we are in our day. We were given a government where we the people were the sovereigns. We the people were the masters. We were at the top of the pecking order. We were at the top of the order of authority right under our Creator. We were directly responsible to our Creator. We were not responsible to anybody, anything, or any power that was below us. And government was intentionally, the Constitution for the United States of America and the Bill of Rights, our laws, created to keep the U.S. government down there in the servant's position under us. This is why all public servants have to take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution for the United States. The Constitution is above our U.S. Congress. The Constitution is above the executive branch with our tin god, Obama. The Constitution and Bill of Rights is above the Supreme Court is made up of 9 lawyers who are government agents. They're all government agents. They're government employees. They're beneficiaries of the tax laws. And so we've got an entirely different political system that we were to be living in this country where we the people are above government. We don't have to, be subject. We're not subject. Now, Romans, the 13th chapter, they will read that chapter or the first seven verses of Romans 13, and they'll take that first sentence. The first sentence is all you have to understand in those seven verses, because it says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. And then they will tell you that the government is the higher power. That should be almost, that borders on treason. For them to call the government, our government, a higher power, that is so un-American. That is the evidence of the ignorance that permeates our system. Sure, the preacher probably went to 4 years of college and 3 years of seminary, and he's probably got a doctor of divinity, and here he is, he hasn't got a clue how our political system was designed, and it is a system that is, there's established law, you see, which assures us of that position where we have dominion of those underneath us. And so I don't know but what perhaps 75 to 99% of the problems that we face in this country today, from the politicians, the political critter that we've got in Washington, D.C., so much of it is responsible, or it has happened because our pastors, our preachers in our pulpits are preaching theological error. And what you read in Romans 13, saying that we're to be we're to be subject to the higher powers. This is so ridiculous, because what does it mean to be under the dominion? It means you are the servant, and we were not to be servants. We were to be we were to be servants of our God Creator, not servants of a government. I don't know if I've explained myself here the way I should or not, but I get thoroughly upset when I get confronted with these ministers and their teaching in the pulpits in our country, and people sit there in the pews and absorb it, but it goes along basically with what is being taught in our government schools.
Well, yeah, we've got quite a conversation going on in the chat room, particularly, and I sympathize with people who really are living in fear of the IRS, because that's the way this really all of us are. We are all living under this police state as slaves. Except those who have just absolutely refused to go along with it, and they've been harassed, most of them, and are certainly in danger of being harassed if they haven't already been harassed. But, people are afraid that their houses are going to be taken away from them, just like your 85-year-old buddy. I mean, I can't even imagine being in my 80s and having these people come and harass me, especially when I risk my life fighting for this country in World War II. It blows me away the more that I learn about it, Red, but that fear is there. I mean, if you've got a wife, you've got children, you got other people that are relying on you, sometimes I wish I was just, I love my family. I love my wife. I wouldn't give them up for anything, but there's times that I wish it was just me, because then it would be a lot easier to fight that fight. They don't care about us. They don't care about our families. They don't care about anything.
The situation with this older couple, you see, in most places there's law that covers that, but the IRS is immune to that. They call it the elder abuse, you see. Elder abuse is a crime, and most places they have the laws on the books that you can be prosecuted if you're found guilty of abusing elders and taking advantage of them, you know, with selling them stuff and vacuum cleaners or whatever, and so you know, this is elder abuse that is going on with this party, and of course it just. Well, I guess that's why the good Lord gave me red hair for most of my years. I just couldn't stand still for, you know, for this kind of thing. And I'll never forget, I was about 13, 14, and my dad was running a garage. At the time, he was a country preacher, but he was running a garage because he had some skills as far as welding and mechanical, and this was at the beginning of World War II. And an IRS guy came. We had an old truck that was just about, it was on the road all the time. We didn't have that many good wheels around, if people had to have something hauled, why... there weren't very many trucks around to haul stuff, and there was a road use tax that they were trying to collect, and this IRS agent came in and he was going to give my dad a bad time about not filing for this road use tax or something, and my dad just about had to bodily throw him out of the place. My dad had red hair, too. And the guy got the message, and I was a bystander to see that. I saw that all happen. And I thought, and already at that age, I had, there was a certain amount of fear of the Internal Revenue Service, even at that age. And I told my dad after the guy was gone, I said, I suppose you will hear from him again, but we never heard another word. That was the end of it right there. And of course, that brings up something that was rather hilarious about that phone call from the Southern Poverty Law Center. She was talking about what losses I had had, and I said, well, I said, you know, the last one battle I had with them, I got $145,000 out of them. You did? And I said, well, she said, when was that? And I said, well, it was back about 1996, and I said, you really didn't expect something like that to be in the files at the Southern Poverty Law Center, because I won. I got that kind of money out of them, and I joke about it, and I said, and the check didn't bounce. And, you know, there wasn't nothing. There was nothing in the Billings Gazette about that that lawsuit that I won. And they threw in the towel. It never went to trial. We sued them, and it never went to trial because they knew what they were going to run into, and that was they were going to run into the judicial notice that the judge was a government agent, and he couldn't make findings of fact or conclusions of law. They knew that that would kill them. So they settled, and they settled on my terms. And that didn't make the papers, but if the IRS, you know, was claiming that I had lost something, Oh boy, they were there then. That was in the papers. But you see, this gal, it was kind of, it was an amusing thing to me, say, well, hey, you really don't think you're going to hear about people that win? I know of a lot of wins that that we've had in this country, but they never make the papers.
Well, there'd be a lot more wins if people understood how to judge the law and didn't believe. We're up against a break. Be back in just a few minutes. Any of you guys out there that are listening would like to call in and join this discussion. We've got some great people in our chat room tonight. It's been a really fun chat. See you back in just a few minutes here.
You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody. You may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to sell somebody. Yeah, you're gonna have to sell somebody. Well, it may be the devil. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy.
you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Welcome back to Walls in Our Minds, and this is Terry Dodd. I'm here with my co-host, Red Beckman. And Red, you know, we had Mike DeCosola on a couple of weeks ago, who is the leader in the state of Illinois for the county assemblies.
Yeah.
And he of course, had kind of had a conflict, if you will, with that guy Kennedy, Sam Kennedy, who has kind of gotten involved with one of the guardians, or the elders, as they call them, that are leading the Restore America plan. And you made your phone calls to your contacts over in Montana regarding the county assemblies. And people are just now starting to really get wind of this. I have seen all of their documents. I know that what happened in Illinois was that DeCosola, along with the county assembly members there, started asking questions that were reasonable and fair questions of the so-called elders of this group they refer to as the Guardians. And Kennedy blew back and made false accusations. And I'm trying to remember Kennedy's real name. His real name is Unger. He was a dentist up in the Northeast, and he sold his practice and went into doing lectures and seminars and charging money for, you know, telling people how to deal with some of the income tax stuff. But a lot of people who he's advised have ended up going to jail. And he recently, really just in the last few months, got involved with the other three guys that were these elders of this Guardian group. And, of course, they have laid claim to having high-level military people ready to back what they refer to as de jure grand juries, which really we think of as common law or citizen grand juries. Which they were approaching these county assemblies, which are a grassroots organization, unlike the Restore America plan, which is a top-down type group, which is what concerns me about it. But what has been the concern of signing some of these documents is that when you make this commitment to them that you will serve on these assemblies, or what they're referring to as grand juries, you're in essence giving them a power of attorney without clear definition of what exactly limits that power of attorney. You're also possibly exposing yourself to somebody that may be setting you up. And I've been looking into this as extensively as I can, and when a number of people confronted this guy Kennedy, including some of the other elders, he came clean on a show, I guess it's been about 3-4 weeks ago now, where he came on his radio show and confessed, you know, that Kennedy was not his real name. But there's just a lot of suspicion about this and a lot of mystery, and these guys are not really able, or I don't know if they're not able or willing to disclose, you know, what their contacts are, or how they can make the representations that they're making. And a lot of people are trusting in this. And I'm just very concerned. I get concerned anytime I see a top-down organization, especially when they may be infiltrating a grassroots organization like the county assemblies that are trying to restore de jure government at the county and state level. So I'm laying that out there. I'm not telling people to get involved or not get involved with this Restore America plan. I'm just saying, make sure you understand what you're getting yourself into and make sure that whoever your name and information is delivered to is not a government agent. And I know that Diver Dan, who's in our chat room right now, has had his experience with a government agent before and confronted them and requested that they put their hand on a Bible and swear to the fact that they're not a government agent. And that's what I recommended to those guys over in over in Illinois when I was talking to the county assembly people over there in regard to this Restore America plan. I said, you know, have these people put their hands on a Bible and swear that they're not government agents. And I think that's about the only way that I can think of that will flush these white ants out. And I don't, you know, Kennedy might be a white ant. He might not. I know that he's advised a lot of people that ended up in jail. And I know that the reason that these other guys latched on to him is because he had a following on his radio show. And I'm just concerned. So I've been proceeding with caution with regard to this Restore America plan and these guardian elders. And so I pray that what they are doing is absolutely legit, because if it is, and they can issue warrants through these so-called de jure grand juries, and they can get military people to actually prosecute or execute those warrants and place people under arrest that are criminals in our government, man, I can't think of anything that I would want to celebrate more than that. But we don't really know at this point whether these people are legit or not. So I'm just saying proceed with caution. I wouldn't want to shut this down if it's something that's real and good. But on the other hand, I don't want good people's names and information being turned over to authorities. And when I say authorities, I mean the police state that's going to come and prosecute them either. So I'm just telling people they need to be careful. Red, anything, any comment you'd like to add to that?
Well, over the years, I've seen quite a number of situations where people have, tried to organize, and it's, it sounds good. Back there in the early 80s, started in the 70s, there was a strong organization in Southern California. And, but it was, it went to naught. They had, I think they had over 25,000 people, dues-paying people. And, of course, quite a few people went to jail on account of that. And, of course, there was an outfit that originated in Denver area. And they set up a bank. And I tried my best to talk this individual that started this. I tried to talk him out of doing this. I had a cup of coffee with him, and it was just the two of us. And I said, don't do it. And he said, why? I said, what will happen is the day you open your doors as a bank, you will have somebody on the inside getting copies of everybody's names and the amount of money they're putting in, and they were building a reserve of silver and gold. And the idea sounded great, and a lot of people bought into it, and then they started setting up satellite offices around the country, and boy, I'll tell you, it worked out exactly as I warned the fellow. The day they opened the doors to do business in that bank, the IRS owned one of the ladies that worked in the bank. She was taking copies of every document and giving them to the Internal Revenue Service. She was paid handsomely. And they raided the feds raided the place, stole all the gold. There's at one point put up a phony deal against the guy that started it and put him in jail, and the guy stole the bank and took it back to one of the states in the east. And there's about 100 and or no, it was over 400 bags of silver, old silver coins that are sitting in a bank vault back there. I think they've been there now for about 30 years almost. And there were people lost their farms, their ranches, their businesses, all kinds of losses. The losses were just unbelievable because people joined up. And listen, we don't need that. We don't need that. We need to put our reliance, our faith, our confidence in our Heavenly Father. When we see enough repentance in this country, then our Heavenly Father will step in and make things happen to clean up the mess. I don't think you're going to see an organization, top down especially. I keep watching the Tea Parties, hoping that they stay at the grassroots. And every Tea Party group in the country maintaining their autonomy, their autonomous situation where they're not under an egomaniac someplace that says they're the founder, they're this or that or whatever. Don't get involved in that. You don't need it. And I know right here up in the Seattle area they're working on this county assembly thing, and it concerns me because I think that energy, the resources that are going into this, would be better used and better put to better use if we had these people really out there educating people about the grand jury and the trial jury and how, that we can bring back our lawful government when we understand the pecking order, the order of authority in our system, and that we are above government, we are above the Constitution. And, I thought of a kind of a crazy thing that I did back there 20 years or so ago. We had set up a business in another state, and the business was in my name. And because we anticipated, we anticipated some possible political problems. And sure enough, after a couple of years or so, the state had a state income tax, and they started sending mail and demanding that we file their state income tax returns. And of course, we weren't filing federal. Anyway, I told the guy managing it. I said, just put those letters in a separate place. You can put it in the trash, but I'd rather you just file them away someplace. And when you get a certified letter from the state, you send that letter to me. And it was several months. It went on for several months. And then finally he called and said that he had a certified letter. And so I told him, I said, send it over. And sometimes you get inspiration, and I I sat down and I wrote it in longhand, and it was very short. I said, the state of X, I won't name the state, I said, I haven't seen anything in the Bible that gives the state authority or jurisdiction over this particular piece of land. I said, my king, I have a king, and he created that land and that area that you call your state. He created it, and I'd like to know where you got the authority to claim it as yours. And I said, I am not subject to you. I am only subject to my king. And I sent it, and I just wrote it longhand. And we did not hear anything for months or years. I don't remember how long it was. We eventually, we sold the business, but we never filed a state income tax or paid a state income tax. I think that more than anything, they probably thought, well, this guy is a real kook, and we just don't need to tangle with him. It was not that great a business. It was a good business for us and all, but it was not a big monster. And I think they just decided that they didn't want to tangle with some guy that was so ridiculous and so, coming up with such arguments. But, I think we need to remind these people of the fact that our Heavenly Father created this planet. He created this planet. He didn't create this planet for politicians to set up political entities. He didn't... and in fact, he told Adam and Eve, he says, I want you to subdue and take dominion. And, that's the Great Commission. That's the Great Commission. And I see nothing in that scripture that says that that commission has ever been rescinded. I've never seen it. So, your turn again, Terry.
I've been trying to persuade Dan to call in and give us a report on the Florida Attorney General. You mentioned that you were watching what was going on with the Idaho group, and we got Brian Frank from South Carolina that's been talking about what the Attorney General over there is doing because he wants to run for governor. And
well, I just found this out last night talking to my oldest son in Boise, Idaho. And he was chuckling about it because they've got a pretty active governor over there. And before this health thing was in debate stage yet in the House, and the governor, he takes his attorney general for the state of Idaho, and the two of them, they go down to Florida, and they meet with the attorney general down there in Florida. And I think, if I remember right, that case that they have filed right shortly after Obama signed that bill, I think it was just minutes, and they had their first case filed. And I think that was filed in Florida, wasn't it? I believe it was. Anyway, the governor of Idaho and his attorney general, they made quite a tour out of it, apparently, and they did a lot of brainstorming. I was amused because I know that a lot of this is going on, but local newspaper, the Lee newspaper here in Longview on Monday, they said... the experts said that these lawsuits, they'll not go anywhere with these lawsuits. They won't win. Who are their experts? Is you know, Obama isn't allowed to practice law anymore. He doesn't have a license to practice law, nor does his wife. Was he the expert that they contacted? It didn't say who these experts were. But you can just about bet that what they call an expert is probably somebody that's of the same political persuasion as Obama himself. And so, it's going to be interesting to watch, what these states do. I personally think that they are going to have to notice the judges in the federal courts. They're going to have to notice them of the fact that those judges have a conflict of interest, and the only proper due process is a Seventh Amendment common law jury to hear this case.
Folks, I would like to introduce our friend Dan from Florida, who is the head of the Constitution Party, the chairman for the Constitution Party in the state of Florida. Do you have a report from the Attorney General there in Florida, Dan?
Well, his name is... Hello, everyone. Hello,
yeah.
Mr. Beckman. How are you tonight?
Very good. Better yet now, since you're on here with us.
It's good to hear you. And you also, Terry. Always good to hear you all and be in the chat room with Dr. Kate and the rest of the Patriots in there. I love being around Patriots. Bill McCollum is our Attorney General down here in Florida, and is actually running for governor. So I believe that I'm a lot more suspect. The courts are thoroughly corrupt. They're run by corrupt judges, corrupt attorneys, corrupt police, corrupt politicians. And then it's like going into Satan's court, Lucifer's court, and they throw us into the lion's den or into the fire, and Patriots go to jail all the time, most of the time, unless they can by chance find a decent judge that allows them to bring forth their evidence. I think most times, though, that the judges are blocking, like the gentleman remember we had on our program, Red and Terry. Remember the guy, you guys were on the program in American Politics 101 with the other two guys that were my good friend Doug Caton and his other buddy. Well, the judge is railroading him. Obviously, that's, we knew that was going to happen almost for sure, and it did. He's railroading them, won't let them bring forth any of their evidence, of course, because it's too condemning. Bill McCollum is a politician, a career politician, actually, and I personally believe that he's doing this and I believe that the Republicans are doing it to keep the Republican and the Democratic left versus right paradigm to continue to manifest in the minds of the sheep and give them hope. If they think there's hope that the Republicans are truly going to stand up for their liberty, they're going to cast their vote for the Republicans again and put all their weight behind the Republicans. And again, the Republicans and Democrats, both the same party behind the curtain, they will retain their power, their Luciferic power. And make no mistake about it, and this is how I feel, from my study and my research, I believe that Lucifer, Satan, is ruling the Democratic and Republican parties. So how can we ever get anything good out of it? He's ruling our courts, our entire government. We have sodomites running all over the place. We have baby killers murdering millions of babies every year. We have people going to jail. We have more people in jail in this country than any other country in the world. The United States of America, land of the free, home of the brave. Nonsense. Home of the enslaved. Home of the jailed, home of the neocon, home of the sheep. They won't stand up and fight for anything. They're so brain soiled, as you say, Red, they have those walls in their mind, which, by the way, it is, that is the name of your program tonight, and which I love it. And I use that saying all the time now, ever since I heard you talk about it up there at the Continental Congress, Red. And I also, you know, studied your little booklet. And I am trying to shake my fellow man awake. You know, if I have to slap him a couple of times, I'm going to do it to wake him up, because we don't have any more time. The time is out. It's not the time is. We have no time for wimps, for wet noodle men, for guys who zip their pants up on the side. You know, oh gee, I don't know. I have to check with my wife first. What are you talking about? You have to check with your wife first. What kind of a man are you? And that's the problem in this country. We have sissy men, is what we have. You know, they're afraid to fight. They're afraid someone's going to take something away from them that they don't even have to begin with. We don't have anything. Either, you know, it's sort of like David. You know, King David, when he came and he saw his brothers and all of Israel standing there and being mocked. God was being mocked by the enemy. Here we stand. They're murdering babies every year. You know, these guys. There's a couple of guys that we know of that have murdered abortion doctors. I shouldn't say murdered them. They killed them to protect unborn children. I don't think those men are tyrants or they did anything wrong. Yet we have preachers standing in the pulpit saying, oh, gee, you know, we can't do things like that. Well, what about the little babies that are being ripped apart in the womb and then thrown into the garbage? What about them? Let's get real here. I'm sick and tired of being around mealy mouth mice. I don't want to be around any men like that anymore. I'm looking for real men to stand next to me. I know Terry Dodd's one of those. I know you're one of those, Red. I know there's many, many other men also. I met a lot of them at the Continental Congress. Praise the Lord. I met a lot of them at the Continental Congress. Wow. Was I ever blessed to be there. But I, you know what? I'm not, people are like, you know, Dan, you gotta be careful. You might get in trouble. What do you mean I might get in trouble? What are you talking about? We're already in trouble. The liberty of my family is already in trouble. My children are already going to grow up in a world where they're going to be prisoners, slaves. This is about, we have to fight for freedom again. We don't have it. Who in here can say that they've ever been free? You ask permission to do everything from the government. Okay, I need permission to drive, got to get a license. I need permission to get married, got to get a license. I need permission to practice law, got to get a license. I need permission to be a doctor, got to get a license. I need permission to be an insurance salesman, got to get a license. Real estate agent, got to get a license. What isn't licensed? It probably would be easier for us to say what isn't licensed. Because I can't think of anything, to be honest with you. And I know I'm really fired up right now, but I'll tell you, since they passed the health care scam, I am fired up. I am really fired up. And I'm going to wave that flag. I bought myself a new flag for the Constitution Party, you know, so we could take it to the events. It's join or die. It's no more of all this. You know, I'm not waving that empire's banner. I refuse to submit or say the Pledge of Allegiance to that empire banner. England, think about this. Our founding fathers had to abandon the standard that they had grew up with, the British Jack. They had to abandon that. They said, no longer, we're going to come up with our own flag. And they abandoned it. It was, you know, Britain was their homeland, their beloved country that, you know, they didn't want to have to secede from Britain, but they had enough intestinal fortitude where they did, because they knew if they didn't, they wouldn't have liberty. And so they got rid of the flag, too. The United States of America, the flag that we see, the stars and stripes, is no longer what it used to be. It no longer represents what it did. So what, are we going to keep flying it? You're going to keep pledging to it? What are you pledging to? Not to mention the Pledge of Allegiance was written and implemented by a socialist. So I'll tell you, join or die is my flag. That's my flag. Join or die. It's not even don't tread on me. Forget it. Join or die. That's how I feel about it these days. And I'm going to voice my opinion wherever I go. I'm looking forward to going to South Carolina next month, where Brian Frank got me invited up there, and the wonderful Linda Weeks, who's been bringing people together and building a coalition of patriots up there has done a great job. They're having that huge, I'll tell you, I'm going up there and I'm going to speak the truth. If they want to arrest me on the spot, let them do it. I dare them. Let them do it. They can't kill me. They can't kill me. I'm born again. They can't take my life. They can't do it. And I'll be quiet for a minute.
Dan, sorry. One of the toughest things for me is waiting for people to wake up, waiting for, you know, the black SUV to show up and knock on my door. I'm really, I know that it's a failure for us to do anything that's physical or create or start any war or unrest, but you know, we've got to do something here. We've got to get these people out of their offices and back to their homes and fire them, to terminate them. We've got to be able to enforce some pink slips. And I'm just, I don't know how to make this thing get off of the dime and get people to go together and make this stop. And this waiting is just killing me. I mean, it's eating at me.
Right, right. I think it has to all of us, Terry. And I just had a gentleman call me tonight, and he is so distraught. And I said, "Look, brother, you got to calm down. First off, just calm down a little bit. You know, don't. You know, again, the Lord said, you know, in 2 Timothy, for He's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind." You know, and I love quoting that scripture because that's the truth. And again, as I was saying earlier, you know, when King David, and everybody uses, you know, David and Goliath as the story of all time of good versus evil and of small, you know, helpless, or not helpless, but the weak overcomes the powerful. But there's something more there. David wasn't weak. David was not weak. His brothers were weak. The ones all wearing the armor, the spears, the swords, all the big bad soldiers, they were the ones who were all weak because they didn't have any faith. They didn't have any faith at all, and they were weak. David carried faith. The faith of God is power. That is power, and that scares the living daylights out of our enemies, and they know it. So they're going to take any man of faith, of true faith, who stands up, and they're going to try to cut him down. As, you know, Red was, you know, quoting a lot of scripture tonight here. And I believe that's what we need to do more of. We need to talk more about God and God's natural laws that He's given us, the guidelines He told us to live by in His holy word. Here's the answer to all of our problems right here in the Holy Scriptures. Where does he tell? Well, I say this all the time to my fellow American. Show me one verse in that Bible where God tells us to compromise. I read a thing by Dennis Kucinich last night about how he compromised. Now, you know, that was him, of course. He's a socialist, a progressive. But I have a book on my bookshelf that I bought. I found it in an old bookstore. It was written by JFK. And I thought, this is really going to be great. I'm going to read this. This is really going to be interesting. The whole book is about compromising. The whole book is about how you need, when you're in politics, you need to compromise. Well, who came up with that lie? God certainly didn't. God never said compromise. You know, if we take something and we're looking at it and we're saying, okay, this bill, let's take a look at this bill. Not in the Constitution. Let's take a look at it and let's compare it to God's laws, what God says. If it violates God's laws, God never told us to compromise when it violates His laws. You know, we just all have to get along and everybody love each other. Well, you know what? I do love my fellow man, but I'm going to tell you right now, when my fellow man is violating God's laws, I don't have to sit back and say nothing. In fact, I think that God wants me to stand up and say something. And to be honest with you, even if I have to get thrown in jail, I mean, didn't the apostles get thrown in jail and weren't they martyred for it? I mean, who do I think I am? Somebody special?
Not only that, but they did some of their best writing there.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. Because you have time to contemplate, don't you? And really get close with the Lord. You can't go anywhere.
Dan, we have another caller, Jim, on that I'd like to allow him to get his comment or question in here. Jim, you have a live mic.
There is a phrase in the seventh paragraph of the Declaration of Independence that I think would give us a lot of inspiration. It says, opposing with manly firmness. And I think that characteristic is sorely lacking in our culture. And at this particular time, we've got a wide and deep ideological divide in the country that we can't conceivably coexist with the liberal ideology that's heck-bent on destroying this country. We simply cannot coexist with these people. And we have to oppose with manly firmness that destruction that they're heaping upon this rising generation.
Jim, have you seen the Articles of Freedom that were generated from the Continental Congress?
I'm vaguely familiar with them.
I would invite you to go to either Third Continental Congress, spell it out, T-H-I-R-D, Third Continental Congress. Is it .net, Dan? I believe it's .net, isn't it?
Yes, it's .net, yes.
And print out a copy of that so that you can present that with manly firmness to the right people. You can also go to a site called Common Sense Jeff. Is that .com, I believe, Jeff's site is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's .com, yes.
And you can get a really beautifully printed version of the Articles of Freedom there that are, in fact, the real official Articles of Freedom. I see that Brian put articlesoffreedom.us in the chat, but that is not the official version of the Articles of Freedom that is at that site, just so people know. Dr. Kate put a good one on there, and Kate, if you've got Jeff Williams' site, Common Sense Jeff, link on there, that would be great too. But Jim, the point is that Articles of Freedom is a very good place to get educated on the Constitution and what's been violated in it. It's not everything. We've got some other things to work on, but it really gives people a good foundation so that they can go out and express themselves in a very firm manner with their elected officials and the courts and other places. So it's a great document that that really sets forth these violations, and it also gives us some ideas of civil actions that we can go and do. And so I affirm what you're saying about the firmness and the way that we need to assert ourselves and take a stand and be nonviolent, like Red said, because that being violent would be a true failure. So I appreciate the comment from the Declaration of Independence, which truly is, by the way, the highest law in the land. It's actually higher than the Constitution. Red, any comments on what Jim said a while ago?
Yeah, well, we've been so emasculated in this country and feminized and everything, and it's been intentional. It was something that was done to us intentionally, and of course we need to go back and read the story of Gideon in the Old Testament. He and 300 men, with God's help, routed 135,000, I think it was, of the Midianites. And when I had that conversation with that gal from the AL, the American, Southern Poverty Law Center on Monday, I thought that I could detect a certain amount of fear in her voice, and that tells me if what I sensed is true. Our Heavenly Father is working. We've You know, the invocation that was given at the beginning of our program tonight, Mama Cooks mentioned repentance and asking God to forgive us for our failures and such. And I'll tell you, there is nothing that will make a man stand taller and straighter than, you know, making a confession of his sins and asking God to forgive us and give us the inspiration, give us the power to be what we really need to be. And you know, I'm reminded of another scripture, you know, where Christ said, you're going to be called before the magistrates and such. And he said, don't you worry about what you're going to say, because I'll give you the words to speak. And I've personally experienced having that inspiration and that help at different times in my life. And I'll tell you, it's a great feeling to know that you have God on your side. And when we have God on our side, we have every right in the world to be very, very confident. I'm amused tonight by our friend Dan. He's wound up like a $2 watch. Boy, I can see where he is going to be very, very effective. And, of course, it might just be that he ought to make his way to Montana in mid-April or mid-May for that big celebration in Missoula, Montana. Chuck Baldwin, another party from down in his part of the world, is going to be one of the featured speakers there. And so I would dare say that there would probably be some time for Dan to project his enthusiasm to this and his commitment to these people up there in Montana. There'll be people there from many, many states, and they're expecting a minimum of 5,000. So I'll just give them a pitch right now.
Can I break in here for 1 second, Terry? Would you mind? I want to ask Red a question.
We've got about 12 minutes left, Dan, and they're all yours if you want them.
I just wanted to ask Red, did you actually spoke to the SPLC?
I was interviewed by them last Monday.
Were you really?
Yes.
Did they?
You didn't get in on the first hour here, I guess.
No, I missed part of it because my 24-year-old son had come over for dinner, so I apologize. But they wanted to interview me, and because I wouldn't do it, and I think Brian Frank's the one that brought this to my attention. They labeled me a white separatist. Dan Gonzalez is a white separatist. I thought that was kind of comical, you know. They so much wanted me to answer their questions about who, what groups I used to belong to, or, you know, what my thoughts were. But I didn't. Yeah, it was Brian Frank, but I wouldn't give him anything. But I'm glad that you interviewed with him. What type of questions did they ask you?
Oh, I just had a ball. I enjoyed it immensely, and the one thing that was probably a high point was when she asked, wasn't I afraid that I would be rubbed out or wasted, you know, by somebody? And I said, no, I wasn't worried about it at all. I said, if they waste me, it's a promotion. And so I've used that over the years many, many, many times in meetings, because many times people will one of the questions in question and answer time, they'll say, well, aren't you afraid for your life? And I say, why, no. You know, if they want to promote me, why, that's how you do it. You rub me out. And so that takes all the fun out of it for them.
Sure does.
You know, yeah, it takes all the fun out, and you want to kind of remember that, because you'll have an opportunity to use it yourself.
I'm writing it down right now.
Well, no, know, you've got some work to do, and I'll tell you, I'm more optimistic every day because I hear these things, like the invocation when the program started tonight, beautiful prayer, and I was just so pleased, we can't lose if God is on our side.
Amen.
I tried to stress that. I tried to stress that to that gal from Southern Poverty Law Center, that if God is on our side, you better watch out. You better be careful because you may be on the wrong side, and that's not going to be a good place to be.
Amen.
And let's,
that's
let's
for sure.
You know, yeah, I mentioned that deal earlier in this hour about the state that we had a business and they wanted us to file an income state income tax, and I said no, I don't serve the state. I have a king. I have a king. I don't have a president or a phony president in Washington D.C. I've got a king that I serve. I don't serve that guy that's presiding in Washington D.C. I don't serve him, and I like my king, and I intend to be what I can be to advance his kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Terry, I just wanted to ask Red about the SPLC, because I think that it's kind of comical that it's going to be interesting, Red, by the way, to see how they label you now, because they're going to twist what you said, and
well,
I know you know that.
Yeah, Dan, they've got probably hundreds of pages. They've got a massive file on me.
Do they? Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. back there about 15 years ago, there was a guy in western Montana. He did some research, and he found over 400 pages of information on the Internet about Red Beckman, and almost all of it was coming from the Southern Poverty Law Center, ADL, these different hate organizations. IRS and all of that, and that's 15 years ago at least, and here there was
right.
He had over 400 pages, and
wow.
So that just tells me that if I am identified by all these outfits as being something they don't like,
mm-hmm.
That's a good recommendation, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's a badge of honor to know
Absolutely.
That you're opposite of them.
Yeah. Because they are the devils or Lucifer and his minions. They were the minions of Lucifer himself.
Amen. We have to do? We have to get your book printed. In mass quantities, and hand that book out at the rallies. Maybe
you were in the printing game at once upon a time.
Right, yep, and I can. I'm sure I can find a printer to give a good price on it. I was going to say need to talk to Brian Frank, and I'll talk to him about handing those books out up there in South Carolina, where they're going to have that huge rally up there. We should be handing that book out at every rally, because it's just so informative, and it's what we need to do. With the juries and of course the with the renewing our minds and breaking free from the mental chains and as you say the walls, breaking down the walls in our minds and really seeing things for what they are.
Dan, there's just one thing. I wanna use up one of those blank pages in the back
yes.
to explain this Seventh Amendment thing, and that's the only change that I want. You get a price. and you can put your address down there. You can put your address in there if you want. My address should probably go in there too with that book price page in there, the tapes and things. But you can have your address in there as well, and I'll if you get 10 or 20,000 printed, you let me know, I'll put up a few thousand bucks and see if you can match it.
Okay. You got it. I'll work on that.
I told earlier how I won a lawsuit with the IRS and got $145,000. So, you know, I'm not what is considered, I'm not a welfare case. Let's put it that way.
Right. Praise the Lord for that.
Yeah.
Well, you sure don't talk like a welfare case.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I know what it is to scratch for a living. Growing up like I did in the 30s and such, and my folks, there were 7 children, and in the 30s, and my folks absolutely refused to take any government food supplies or, you know, subsidies or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, why? And I'd say, well, we were too proud. I like that pride thing, pride in our ability to make it, to survive, pride in our, you know, our resourcefulness, and are proud of the faith that we had. And I'll tell you, I could tell you about miracles. I remember having nothing to eat in the house, nothing. Absolutely nothing. And my youngest brother, who was only a couple of 3 years old, he was crying because he was hungry. And these cars, 3 cars, as I remember, came driving into our yard. We were out in the middle of nowhere. And this lady in the lead car, she said, God told me that the Beckmans needed something to eat. And they brought, I mean, I think we had enough groceries to last 3 or 4 or 5 months.
Wow.
Because that lady had her ear listening to what God wanted her to do. And so there you see, I've had enough of these kind of experiences to where I know who my king is.
Amen. Yep.
Gentlemen. Speaking of our king, before Dan, would you mind closing us in prayer? We've got about 2 minutes left, and I'd love for you to close us in prayer tonight. And I'd like for you to pray with the kind of spirit to God that you gave us in your rant, if you want to call it that, here a little bit ago, because it was wonderful. But the ladies have required that if we print this book, that we have to have the links to our shows, both the WAFS TV, the Politics 101 with Dan Gonzalez, and Walls in Our Minds, our show links in the book.
Mm-hmm.
That would be easy enough,
Dan,
to do.
That can
Dan,
be
would
done.
You close us?
You bet. You bet. Dear Father, we humble ourselves before you. We beg your mercy. Our country is falling apart all around us. The evil is all about. Father, we're not going to buckle. We're going to stand strong for your word, for what you've given us, the Holy Spirit that you've put inside of us, and you've renewed our minds and our bodies. We're not going to falter. We ask that you protect us. And all that we do, and everyone that's listening in on this program right now, we ask that you protect all of them, build a hedge around their families. We ask that you reveal to the men their purpose. And if they would just stand in that gap, as you said, you would heal our land. Father, from your word, I know from your word, that if we work hard, and if we show that faith, that we plant the seed that you've given us, if we continue to plant those seeds of faith in our fellow man, boldly going forward and speaking the truth, regardless of what is around us, that you will bless us because you told us you would. And I believe everything you've said. I believe every promise you've made to us. We ask that, Father, that you forgive us our sins every day, that we continue to lift you up and edify you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.
Amen. You can find Dan on Wednesday nights at Politics 101 at Blast TV. And we'll see you all next week, next Thursday night. Red and I will be here as always. Thank you, Red. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Jim. Good night, all.
Good night.
Get out.